All right. Well, today being the 29th day of March, 2026, the last Sunday in the month of March. Can you believe that? Brother Junior yesterday had his physical birthday, turned 8 years old. Yesterday was my spiritual birthday. I turned 51 yesterday. Amen. Don't I look young? Amen. Yeah, look at that. And it was my spiritual birthday. 15-year-old boy trusted Christ as his Savior, March the 28th, 1975. And man, I'm just so thankful for what God's done. Thankful for God's plan in my life. I'm thankful that he brought me where he wanted me to be, right here. And I'm thankful to be your teacher today. And I just praise the Lord for the opportunity to be able to teach you the Word of God. I want this lesson today. We're going to finish this lesson out. It's entitled Resurrection and Unbelief. Or I'm sorry, Resurrection and Belief. Resurrection and Belief. And this is the last part of it. We will finish this lesson up today. But we're in the book of John, chapters number 11 and 12. And today we're going to be in John chapter 12. We've looked at several things in this lesson. We looked at the resurrection of Lazarus. You remember the story about Lazarus? We looked at the revelation at Lazarus' resurrection, verses 17 through 44 of chapter 11. We looked at several other things in that chapter, and we got down to where we saw the God's plan unfolded and revealed for Lazarus becoming sick. We saw that. God has a purpose and a plan for all kinds of things in our lives, and we just need to trust him. And we looked at the results of Lazarus' resurrection there in the latter parts of John chapter number 11. But today, we want to get into section number 2. Now, we started this last Sunday, section number 2, on the remainder of Jesus' public ministry. And we're going to begin here in John chapter number 12, verse number 1. And I introduced this last week, how that we saw in verses 1 through 11, Jesus returned to Bethany. How he came back to Bethany, to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He came back there because they had prepared him a supper. In verse number 3, you'll see that. You'll see how they had prepared a supper for him in verse 2. And then in verse 3, Mary anoints the feet of Jesus with that precious ointment, that spikenard, that filled the whole house with its aroma. And it was just a beautiful smell. And then she wiped her his feet with her own hair. And it was done as a memorial to his going to the cross and dying. And Jesus had been trying to tell the disciples about all this. We're going to look at more of this next week in our next lesson. But in verses 4 through 8, we saw the bitterness and the greed that was in the heart of Judas Iscariot. Now Judas, you remember, is the one that betrayed our Savior. And in all of this, God had a plan. God had a plan. And that was for his son to die upon the cross of Calvary. But Judas was very bitter. He was filled with greed. And if you look there in verses 4 through 8, the Bible said, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this? For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Jesus rebuked Judas Iscariot here for his comments and for doing what he did. And Martha and Lazarus, as you look here in these verses, through the offering of this of their home, they offered their home to the Lord Jesus. Everything they had, they offered unto the Lord. And especially Mary, with this great offering of worship and adoration, They demonstrated their love for him. They had a true love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Our homes today ought to be the same way. We ought to have the Lord Jesus. Man, he needs to be the king of our home. And in everything that we do and say, we need to make sure that he's got preeminence in that. And here, Mary and Martha and Lazarus wanted to make sure that was the preeminent factor of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had done for them. I thought yesterday, man, just how good God has been. And yesterday being my 51st birthday, 51 years ago, that's hard to believe. That's over half a century ago. And I'm thinking to myself, how can a guy that is so young be so old? Okay? But I am. All right? He is, I am. Okay? But you know what? I thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. And through all the things that he's brought us through the years, and how good God has been. And I thought about the song that we were singing this morning, Heaven Came Down, and Glory Filled My Soul. And man, that must have been the feeling that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were feeling when they opened up their home to the Lord Jesus Christ to thank him. And he invited folks to come. And I want you to look at verse number 9 in this chapter. Verse number 9 says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Man, Lazarus was there. And they didn't come just to see Jesus. Man, that would have been enough for me. But they wanted to come and see Lazarus as well. One that Jesus had raised from the dead. His body had been laid in a tomb for 4 days. And they were afraid that when they opened up that tomb, it was going to be a mess. And Jesus just spoke the words and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out, dressed head to toe, wrapped in those clothes. And Jesus looked at him and said, loose him and let him go. Amen. And that's what Jesus did for us when he saved us. He loosed us from the bounds of sin and the things that bound us up. He loosed us from that and he said, let them go. And man, we're to go out and we're to tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. But sadly, look now at what happened in verses 10 and 11. These priests did not like Jesus at all. And that's the part I've got to play tonight in this play, okay? This week. I got to play a bad guy's part. And boy, I tell you what. When you look at this and you study the Word of God and see how these folks treated our Savior, they hated him. They hated him. And the Bible said here in verses 10 and 11, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They were just mad at Jesus for the truths that he gave. But they were mad at Jesus because now he had raised somebody from the dead and everybody was flocking after Christ. And they wanted to do away with Lazarus too. They wanted to put him to death. Why? Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And I got to looking at that and I thought, man, you know what? There are a lot of folks that fuss at us as Christians and things like that because they have seen what Christ has done. But you know what? I want folks to believe on Jesus because of what Christ has done in my life. I want them to see the difference. I want them to know what Christ has done for me. And Lazarus, no doubt, wanted everybody to know, listen, I was dead. I'd been dead for 4 days and 4 nights. And Jesus spoke and set me free. And gave me life. And you know what? Each of us were dead in our trespasses and our sins. But Jesus brought us life. Amen. He brought us life and gave us something worth living for. So today, I want you to start here in this section number B. Part number B in verses 12 through 19. where we see Jesus' ride into Jerusalem. Now, this is a special thing that we want to see today. And in verse 12 and following, we see that Jesus did indeed come into Jerusalem for the Passover. And what an entrance he made. Boy, what an entrance he made. You could not have come in there in a Mercedes and done any better than that. He came in, and according to the scriptures, as Jesus came into the city, his disciples took a young donkey, just the foal. The Bible says the foal of an ass. That's what the Bible says. It calls it that, a colt in some places. And they set him upon it. And they were, in doing that, they were fulfilling the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures that they had forgotten about. They had forsaken. And I want you to turn, if you've got, if you can find it there, in Zechariah chapter number 9. Make a note of it right here in this verse, beside verse number 12. Just write the note, Zechariah chapter number 9, verse 9, where the Bible said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So we read here in verses 12 through 15 in John chapter 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees. That's why we call this Palm Sunday, okay? They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt." Now that's what we just read from the book of Zechariah, chapter number 9. Jesus fulfilled every Old Testament prophecy, every scripture that told of his coming and what he would come to do. He fulfilled every one of those scriptures. And then the Bible tells us here in verse number 16 about the disciples. The Bible said, "These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things that were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him." You see, the scriptures were the key issue here. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to destroy it. He came to fulfill all of those things that were spoken of him that would come to pass. And now, while the disciples didn't understand all that was happening, Jesus was doing exactly what he said he was going to come to do. And they didn't understand all that was happening here until after Jesus had been crucified and buried in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. And then in his resurrection, and when he ascended back up into heaven, they all took note of what was happening, especially the religious leaders. Now, I want you to remember this. They knew the truth, but they chose to reject the truth. Somebody had asked me one time, did they go to hell because they were Jews? No, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But they refused to see their need of a Savior. They refused to see him as God in the flesh. And so the Bible said here in verse number 19 that these folks fussed about everything that Jesus did. Now I want you to look at what the Bible said. Let's back it up here to verse number 17. "The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. In other words, they were witnesses of everything that happened. And look at what this says in verse number 18. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they had heard he had done this miracle. Verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Everybody that came knew that he was the Son of God. But yet they refused to accept the truth. They refused. And they said here in this passage of Scripture, Behold, the world is going after him. That's what they thought was going to happen. Well, I wish that could have happened that day. The whole world needs the Lord Jesus today. But have you noticed that everybody is looking for a leader? I sure wouldn't want to be one in Iran today. Every time they find one, he dies, okay? They've got all these AI characters now up there making all these threats against the United States and things like that. They're generated by AI. AI. You know why? Because they don't want anybody knowing who the leaders are, because they're going to knock them off. Israel's going to knock them off. Sad but true. But here, I want you to look at verses 20 through 36. And we want you to see how that the whole world has gone after Jesus. Yes. And now the Greeks come with their request to Jesus. Look at this. These Greeks, the Bible said, were among them that came to worship at the feast. And when they requested to see Jesus in verse number 21, Philip and Andrew go and they tell Jesus in verse 22. Now let's look at what the Bible said. Starting in verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And look at verse number 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour is come. Now their hearts, they were confused about things. But when they requested here in verse number 21 to let these Greeks see Jesus, Jesus said, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. His death was to glorify Christ, to glorify his Father. It was to fulfill the Scriptures, folks. Everything that he did to fulfill the Scriptures. And in verse 24, Jesus tells them that he must die in order for his ministry of salvation to be fruitful. Look at verse 24. He said, Because of this, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, a little kernel of wheat, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Because Jesus came to die for your sins and for mine. Why did he do that? Because the wages, the penalty that we deserve for our sin, the wages of sin is what? It's death. Eternal separation from God. Therefore, so that you and I would not be separated from God, God sent his Son as that little kernel of corn, that little kernel of wheat that would die. And he said here, if it die, if it fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And folks, you know what? When I look at that verse, and I look at you all here today, you're part of that much fruit. I'm part of that much fruit. All the millions upon millions and millions of people who have trusted Christ as their Savior are among that fruit. Why? Because one man came to this earth to do what God said do, and that was to die for the sins of man. And as a result of Jesus going to the cross to die for the people, look at verses 25 and 26 where Jesus reminds them. He said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Wow, think about that today. We have the privilege, the blessed privilege and opportunity to serve the one who came to die for us. What a blessing, amen? Now look at verses 27 through 36. And here, Jesus' soul is very troubled. As he looked ahead at what he was going to have to go through upon the cross of Calvary, as he looked ahead and thought of the pain and the suffering, the shame that he was going to have to go through, he looked ahead to that hour when he was to be crucified. The Bible said he prayed, "Father, glorify thy name." You know what? That was his desire, to glorify the name of God. To which God the Father spake and said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And this signified God's approval of Jesus' work on this earth and on the cross of Calvary. You know what? It pleased the Lord to bruise his son. You think, how can that please God the Father? I want you to turn back to the Old Testament scriptures of Isaiah chapter 53 just a moment. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to look at the verse here in Isaiah chapter 52 also. You remember how they beat him? And they just cruelly beat him. And if you look in Isaiah chapter 52 verse 14, the Bible said, "Many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." But then you go to Isaiah chapter 53, and I want you to look at this. Verse number 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." And Isaiah writes here, he said, "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." They thought that because all this was happening to him, he had done wrong, and this was why he deserved for blaspheming God the Father. But that was not the case at all. Jesus had come to glorify his Father and to bring honor to him. Look at verse 5. "But he was wounded," Isaiah said, "for our transgressions." Our sins is what he's saying. That's why he went through what he did. "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. When his stripes..." Now you think about this. He was beaten with that cat of nine tails. Had nine strips of leather with metal and things like that in their barbs that would catch the skin and rip the skin literally away from the body. And they gave him 39 stripes, 39 hits with that thing. If you got a good brain, you multiply 39 hits times 9 stripes like that. That's a lot of beating. His flesh was torn to pieces. And yet he survived it all so that he could continue on to go to the cross and fulfill the scriptures. His stripes healed our sins. You know what? There was nothing that we could do for that. But he could. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord God Jehovah, hath laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. All of your sin, all of my sin was laid upon the blessed back of our Savior. Now you think about that today. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. You remember all night they kept him locked up and mocked him and tried him with these false accusations. He was taken from prison and judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression, Isaiah says, of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. All of these things Jesus suffered for you and for me. But I want you to look at verse number 10. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he, God the Father, shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and what does he say? And he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I, God says, divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Man, that's what Jesus did for you and for me. And in these verses, back in John, because of that, God said, I have both glorified thy name, and I will glorify it again. And then in verses 29 through 33 of John chapter 12, I'm going to have to hurry. Good night. Time goes by so quick. Verses 27 through 36, let me go through this. Verses 29 through 33. Jesus, you know, God had spoken in the people there. Let me just read it. Verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. And then Jesus cries and he says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. For your sakes this voice came. And now he explains why that voice came. Listen to what he said. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Who's the prince of this world? The prince and power of this present world, Satan. And look what it said. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. You see, the crowd still didn't understand. And in verse 34, they said, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Many of them still did not believe. They assumed, okay, they assumed if Jesus was indeed that promised Messiah, that he could not die. But this is the purpose that he came, to suffer and to bleed and to die. And in verses 35 and 36, Jesus warns them for the last time to forget all the questions that they had and instead trust him to be the light that would remove the darkness of sin from their heart and their lives. And then Jesus hid himself from them. Now look at verses 35 and 36. "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from him." Look at verse 37. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." You know what? That's a sad picture right there. We see the sadness in Jesus' own heart. "But though he had done so many things, so many miracles, raised the dead, made the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, he had fed them by the thousands, quenched their thirst, fulfilled their hunger, and yet many of them chose not to believe." And look what he said, verses 37 through 41. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report?" That's Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, okay? "And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him." But we also see a gleam of hope. You know what? Where there's despair, there's still also hope. And look at verse number 42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him." Many believed on him. Praise God for that fact. But you got to read the rest of it. John's heart is broken here as he writes these words. "But because of the Pharisees, because of those religious folks around them, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." You see, though they believed Jesus to be the Christ, they refused to die to the worldly and carnal desires of the flesh. They wanted to be men pleasers. And folks, I've learned a long time ago, you can't please most men no matter what you do. You can't please everybody. So we got to make a choice who we're going to please. And I think I'd just rather please Jesus than anything. I want him to be satisfied with me. And here's the reason they couldn't do what they did. Verse 43. "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Isn't that sad today? So many folks in our world today want the praise of men rather than the praise of God. You know what? I would rather have folks make fun and call you names and things like that down here, so that when I stand before God, he can stand there and look at me and say, "Well done, Thou good and faithful servant. Let me close out this lesson showing you Jesus' restatement to the people, what he said again to the people. And in verses 44 through 50, he reminds the people that this ministry is not his, but it's God's plan. It was God's plan that Jesus came to fulfill. Not my plan, not your plan, not Peter's plan, not anybody else's plan. It was God's plan. God had a plan to redeem sinful man. And that plan goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, folks, when God made that promise. And you know what? When a person places their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when they realize what Christ has done for them, they're placing their faith and trust in the one who sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the means of our salvation for us to believe on the Lord God. And that's why Jesus said here in verse number 45, when they questioned him about seeing him, and they said, well, show us the Father, it'll suffice us. Jesus said, and he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Why could he say that? Because he was God in the flesh. Amen. If I put a pair of gloves on my hand, what do you see? Just a glove? No, you see my hand. It's working that glove. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. And basically in the last few verses of verse number 12, or chapter number 12, Jesus is just simply reiterating the fact that he was come to do the will of the Father. And that he was indeed submissive to the will of the Father. You know, our problem in our world today is we're not willing to be submissive. We need to be submissive to God's plan, not just our plan. And the Bible said here, verses 46 through 50, I'm just going to read the verses real quick. I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's why in Revelation chapter 20, God, when they stand before that white throne judgment, God opens the books. They're judged according to the word of God. And folks, it's going to be a sad day. He said, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. Why did he do all this? Because God so loved the world. Resurrection and belief. Folks, it makes a difference. Many people know about God, but they don't truly know God. And we got to figure out, where are we today? I'm so glad I know the Savior. Amen. I know God through the relationship I have with Jesus Christ today. And I hope you do too. Father, I know, Lord, our time is gone, but Lord, what a great lesson that Jesus is teaching us here in this passage of Scripture. And Lord, I want these lessons to be a help to your people. I want them, Lord, to draw closer as they study and they think about what you did for them this week, some 2,000 plus years ago. Lord, help us to be thankful, God, that you came to do the will of your Father. And I pray, God, that you'll speak to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to exalt and magnify your name above all others. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he stands to preach. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for getting to be in Sunday school.